540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn. President Biden is on his way to Israel, but after a morning airstrike on a hospital in Gaza, a summit with Middle Eastern leaders in Jordan has been canceled. Who's responsible? Palestinian officials blame Israel, but Israeli Army spokesperson Daniel Hagari denies that claim.
Intelligence from few sources that we have in our hands indicates that the Islamic Jihad is responsible for the failed rocket launch which hit the hospital in Gaza. I repeat, this is the responsibility of Islamic Jihad.
The president expressing outrage for the deadly blast that left hundreds dead. Correspondent Margaret Brennan has more.
Protests in the West Bank, which is the area under Palestinian Authority rule, have drawn concern about future violence. President Mahmoud Abbas returned to Ramallah from Amman. Once he was out of the summit, then the Arab leaders of Egypt and Jordan made the decision to call off the summit. It was better to have no summit than a failed one.
Meantime, Israeli reserve soldiers are on standby, but no ground offensive yet. Back in Washington, chaos on Capitol Hill, as Congressman Jim Jordan couldn't muster up enough votes from House Republicans to become the new Speaker of the House. CBS's Scott McFarland tells us they'll vote again tomorrow.
In the next vote, you want it to look better than the first vote. If it gets worse, it seems like he's in a real bad trajectory, but he's not going to win over any Democrats, who, among other things, they unified with their leader, but also absolutely outraged with Jim Jordan and his connections to election denialism and January 6th.
Britney Spears tells all. Her new memoir called The Woman in Me is out on a week from today, and she doesn't hold back, including details of an abortion in late 2000 while she was dating Justin Timberlake. She also talks about the time she shaved her head and her controversial conservatorship. Reporter Alexander Tin tells us there could be restrictions put on formaldehyde in some hair straightening products.
The FDA alleges that formaldehyde and other chemicals that emit it could cause short-term health issues like difficulty breathing, as well as long-term problems like an increased cancer risk when used for smoothing or straightening hair.
And women have a higher risk of developing depression after a traumatic brain injury. According to new research presented at the anesthesiologist meeting in San Francisco, they're 50% more likely than men, even if they have no prior mental health issues. Doctors still aren't sure why, though. On Wall Street today, the Dow closed up 13 points. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. And it's the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Who's at croonersloungemn.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, Henry Cutter gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues and human issues are Native issues.
They are, Robert. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we got a groovy guest here, Jacob Bernier, and we're going to be talking a little bit about reframing our stories at the Minnesota Historical Society. So I want to get going right away with this because there's exciting things happening, and there's an exciting exhibit down at the Historical Society right now. Welcome, Jacob.
Tanshi, good to see you, Robert. Good to see you, Haley. Thank you for having me today.
Hey, well, let's talk a little bit. We're going to have you on for a couple segments, and then rumor has it Wendy's going to be on the show today. And I'm looking at her right now, and she's getting prepped. Wendy, are you ready to be on later?
I am. I'm ready, and I can't wait.
Right on. Hey, so with that in mind, let's talk a little bit about, what's happening on the 21st at the Minnesota History Center and the exhibit and reframing our stories. And let's talk a little bit about the whole exhibit, but that there's some exciting things going on, and let's let our audience know what's happening this Saturday.
Absolutely. So this Saturday, starting at 11 a.m., running till 2 p.m., we'll be having a community event here at the History Center for the brand new exhibit, Reframing Our Stories. We will have guest speakers, we will have food, and luckily we will also have you and Haley, hopefully, to join us for a live broadcast of Native Roots Radio.
Yeah, we're really excited, and I got to back up a second. We're here with Jacob Bernier, and he's Program and Outreach Specialist with the Minnesota Historical Society, and thank you, Wendy, for that. And it's always really good to talk about our history and reframing it. It sounds like a really, really good name, because we talked a little bit about this a couple days ago. And just how you guys came about with this collection and how it was labeled, maybe you can let our audience know that interesting story.
Yeah. So we have the archives from the Star Tribune. So we're the state repository here at the Historical Society. And a colleague of ours came across this box and opened it up. And inside were folders, and they were just labeled Indians. And so we had conversations within my department, Native American Initiatives, and thought, what can we do with these folders? What can we do with these photos? And so for a little over a year now, we've been working on this exhibit. A large part of it, of course, is working with community members to identify folks in these photos. The other bigger part is the articles themselves and how problematic they are. And so that's how we came up with the name Reframing Our Stories, because we want to be able to tell these stories from Native perspectives. And most of the articles were not written by Native people.
Yeah, it's interesting. I know years ago when the St. Paul paper would take your picture, they would put your name on there and your address where you lived. But that's really interesting that that didn't happen very often, especially with the collection you have. And really had to do some mining and some reaching out to the community on who these people were, because, you know, those were our leaders and young people that are older and family members. And I can't imagine all the stories that you have to tell about this Easter egg hunt, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. So we have a little over 160 of these photos to choose from. And so we decided on around 20-ish. And so with the community engaged events that we've done at the Minneapolis American Indian Center, at the U of M Powell, we've had events here at the History Center where we've, you know, been able to share food and share stories with community members to really get a better understanding behind what was happening in these photos. I'm happy to talk more about the themes that we have. I'm happy to talk more about my favorite photo. But yeah, just let me know what you'd like to know.
Well, let's talk about the themes. But first, I have a little story, too, that we that one of the big families here in Ho-Chunk, the Claremonts, they had a family member in there that with a different last name. And it was like, that was an amazing story. Do you have any insight on that story? Because, like I say, the Claremonts are huge Ho-Chunk people here, and especially St. Paul, the west side. But they're really a big influential family over the years here in St. Paul.
Yeah, so Henry Green Crow was one of the founding folks for American Indian Radio. That happened in the 70s. And it was the first Native radio station within the Twin Cities. And, you know, it was three guys having a good time, telling stories, making jokes, but also playing music. But more importantly, talking about the events that were going on in the community and making sure that folks were able to be heard at the same time. Luckily enough, one of our colleagues in my department, Manny White Eagle, is related to Henry. And so we were able to have conversations with him and his grandmother, Bonnie Claremont. And so we're hoping to be able to highlight more about her and more about Henry within the exhibit.
Yeah, that's just a great, great story. And who would have thunk it? And I know when I think I saw you guys a year ago when you first started this program and were out in the community, I grabbed that picture because you were giving out pictures too of people. And I went, there's a older picture from the 60s of Native Americans in Ho-Chunk on the radio. So it was like, yeah, that's a keeper, and it's hanging up in my studio right now.
That's great. Yeah, and I want to make sure that folks listening in can know that if there's photos that you see in this exhibit, we will make sure that you get a copy of it.
Go ahead, Haley.
Yeah, that's super cool. I was just curious, too, if you're watching on our YouTube Live or our Facebook Live right now, I'm curious to see where you are currently right now, Jacob, with the pictures and the art behind you.
Yeah, so I'm fortunate enough to give you a kind of a sneak peek of the exhibit itself. So you'll see up above my head is some motifs that we had done by Native artist Lucy Shefty. And then we have some of the photos behind me, too. I don't want to give too much away because we want folks to come on Saturday. But yeah, just a little sneak peek, and you might see some languages that look familiar, too. So yeah, I hope everyone can come out on Saturday.
Well, we got a couple minutes left in this segment, and I do really, really want to talk about in the next segment the themes of the exhibit, and because I got a little preview of that, and I think they're really, really interesting. But what is your favorite picture?
So there is one that is titled Four Generations, and it's four generations of women who, one of which went to Augsburg College with Bonnie Wallace as her mentor. And wow. So with that photo, we were able to get other stories, and it just kind of, you know, snowballed from there to be able to just really bring in more information about what was happening behind the scenes.
Well, and I want to let everybody know too, this is a free, event, and really excited. It's at the Minnesota History Center, October 21st, and it's Reframing Our Stories. And we are here right now with Jacob Bernier, and he's the program outreach specialist for the Minnesota Historical Society. And we're going to talk a little bit more after this short break. So let's stay with us. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Be a vaccinative. As the fall season continues, new COVID-19 variants threaten the health of not just you, but our elders as well. These new variants might even evade previous vaccines. That's why it's important to stay up to date. The newly authorized vaccines target current variants effectively and are FDA approved for ages 6 months and older. But there is an important note. These are the first COVID vaccines to be commercialized, which means there may be costs associated with them. Speak with your health insurer about your coverage before scheduling an appointment to avoid a surprise bill. For those without health insurance, help is available. Ask your health clinic about options or visit vaccines.gov for free locations. Getting vaccinated protects you from severe disease. Don't put yourself or elders at risk. So be a vaccinative and protect our community. You can visit vaccines.gov for free vaccine locations.
This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
Getting bus and train information in your language just got easier. Customers who call Metro Transit at 612-373-3333 are able to select language options at the start of the call. Access Next Trip, their automated real-time schedule information tool, and other Metro Transit assistance by calling 612-373-3333. For more information about other transit informational tools, visit metrotransit.org/tools.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Support honest Native news from Natives themselves. Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon.
Hey, I heard that's a great show. Please support them. Oh, wait, that's us. Hey, ho. Hey, we're here with Jacob Bernier, and he's the program outreach specialist of the Minnesota Historical Society. And we're talking about the new event and exhibit that's coming up called Reframing Our Stories at the Minnesota History Center. And we have left off with talking a little bit about, or we haven't really talked to any about, is the themes of the exhibit. And so I see that there's 2, 4, 5 of them, and they look really interesting. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so when we were deciding which photos to use in the exhibit, we tried to narrow it down as best as we could. And one way of doing that was trying to categorize the photos. And with those categories, we really tried to narrow it down on what they really mean. And so, for instance, we have our wellness, and that looks at not just, you know, physical, but also mental health. We have our resiliency that really shows how Native people are still around because of, you know, having to deal with so many so many things. We have our teachings, because without our teachings, who are we, right? It goes on to our self-determination, really looking at community organizing and all of the events that have taken place in the last 5 or 6 decades. And then the other one that we have, of course, is our Twin Cities, because that's what this exhibit is really focusing on, is Native people around the Twin Cities, not just surviving, but thriving.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's fun, too. And it's really cool that, you know, you're talking about the Twin Cities, because a lot of times people just talk about Franklin Avenue, which, you know, has its rich history. But darn, you know, there was a big community on the west side of St. Paul, Frogtown, the east side. And there still is a big remnants, but especially with the photos that you have from the 50s and 60s and 70s, there is a lot going on here in the Twin Cities, along with a lot happening in St. Paul. So when we see a picture of our teachings, what kind of picture would that be? Would it be somebody in front of a crowd talking to young ones, or?
Well, we have one photo that highlights Heart of the Earth School, and gives a really close look at what that surrounding was like. We have, I'm looking at the photos right now, we have kids who went to one school in Mille Lacs and visited another school to be able to mingle with, you know, different students. And the last one I'll give the example is we have Francis Quijana, who is teaching folks how to make baskets. And we actually have some of Francis's baskets within our collection.
Wow, that's pretty cool. There's Heart of the Earth, too, if people don't know out there. It was a survival school that was started by, I believe, the American Indian Movement, along with the Red Schoolhouse at the same time, and really picked up a need for our Native kids in those days, and especially now, too, we can talk about is to be in touch with their culture and who they are and not be colonized. And so the heart of the earth, I'm sure you're going to run into a lot of people that over the length of the exhibit that went to that school.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a big part of this exhibit, too, is to continue to have these conversations with community members, to be able to put names to faces that we might not have been able to identify quite yet. But, of course, too, to have just conversations and to remember the great things that all of these folks have done. And we really try to highlight that as best as we can.
Yeah, I'm excited. First of all, I really, well, we're going to be down there on the 21st, October 21st. I'm excited about that. We're going commercial free for the whole hour. And I'm really excited to see these pictures, because I am an old person, but I used to do black and white photography. And I believe that there is so much color and grays and blacks and in between. And I love black and white photos. So I'm excited to see these old pictures, but also have them come to life and be out in the open for everyone to enjoy.
Yeah, another element that I think you will enjoy, but I hope everyone else will too, is that we've utilized the negatives that go along with a lot of these photos. So to be able to tell a broader story of what one image can tell, having the whole chain of events that people can actually look at. A great instance of that is the naval takeover base in around the Fort Snelling area when it was abandoned. And Amesters and Claimsters went there to practice their sovereignty and to show that sovereignty is inherent. And there's lots of different negatives to be able to show that.
So in other words, this one picture out of maybe five negatives was in the paper and it was cropped. And now you have the full strip of negatives plus the wide shot, because, you know, back in the day, they hand cropped things in the newspapers, so now you can see the whole picture too.
Right. And wow, there's probably at least 30 negatives to go with that photo.
Wow. Are there any of the photographers still alive? I imagine there are, and have we talked or reached out to them? I know it was a job for them in that the paper owned the negatives. So when they were done shooting their roll, they would hand it over, or I don't even know if they developed it, but I remember those days because, again, I'm old. But are there any photographers that have reached out?
Good question.
Yeah, we've actually reached out to one of the photographers. His name is Mike Zerbe. And I'm hoping he's going to be here on Saturday, and maybe we can convince him to come onto the show and talk to you.
Yeah, that would be really good, because I think, too, it always amazes me watching the old photographers in the day of the newspaper, that they'd come in and shoot and you just go, oh, wow, that's cool. And then you'd see what they saw and what they cropped out and what they put in the paper was like magical for me, because, again, I was I liked photography, and just to see that whole process. And it was like, you know, they were intense and they did their thing. And are there any old pictures from the old film? And I know a lot of this is probably 35 millimeter, but is there any, I think it was 1-inch negatives?
Ooh, I'm not sure. I'm not very savvy with those terms for photography. I wish I was.
No,
but I can tell you that the research that I did was in our library here at the History Center to be able to find all these negatives. And it was probably a good 30 to 40 hours of digging around to find the negatives to match the photos.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Well, I know, too, what's exciting to me is a possibility of a book, too. And I think what's interesting is that you have such a treasure, all these pictures as a treasure, which ones to pick to put in a book someday. It'll be exciting to come down there and see them all hanging. And Wendy, it's interesting when a picture is framed or hung is so much different than like picking it up, you as a painter.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, beautiful. We have a black and white picture here that we're looking at. And I know, Robert, when you said all the different colors in black and white, that it's really amazing. It's a black and white photo, but there's so many colors and so much depth to these photos. So, yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, we have a picture hanging of my great-great-grandfather up in the studio here. And it's a good-looking guy. Oh, wow. And he's got...
Howard.
Yeah, and he's got a... He's got a nickel-plated pistol and a pinky ring, and a bougie Indian or something. Or they or they had all those props at the photography studio, possibly. But, yeah, we're really excited. Let's talk about this again. When and what time? Let's give our audience another 1-2 punch on that. It's October 21st, and what time can people start showing up?
So the event runs from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Doors open for the History Center, I believe, at 10. So folks can come a little bit earlier, but the event that we're going to have won't start until 11.
Well, and it's all free, and come on down there and see this work. And, you know, it's always makes me smile, because we always talk about we're still here, but this is a proof that we're here, and we have been here, and our relatives have been here, and there's proof of it. And what great work, Jacob, that this must have been for you, and to fill up your heart. And it's going to be really great to see all the people really enjoy this exhibit.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say too that our work isn't going to be done with community coming in and giving us more stories. We're going to have more to add to this exhibit, but it will run for 2 years. So October 2025 is when we will deinstall the exhibit.
So it'd be fun if you had a video camera and talk to some people, or maybe even another camera to take pictures of people that are related. That'd be fun, too. I'm sure you got it all figured out. But, hey, I want to say thanks for coming on, and really thank you for what you're doing for our community. And so I really appreciate this, and I can't wait. We'll be live down there at 1 o'clock, Wendy, and interviewing people and just enjoying the celebration.
It's great.
All right, Ben. Well, thank you so much. Jacob, thank you so much for being on. And we were with Jacob Bernier and Program Outreach Specialist with the Minnesota Historical Society. Thank you so much for stopping in.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Right on. Hey, up next, It's Potpourri here at Native Roots Radio. We're going to be talking about the play we just saw. And then after that, Wendy with her sacred animal portion. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Hauling for...
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
CBS News Special Report. An airstrike hit a hospital in Gaza, and now the blame game. Palestinians say Israel's responsible. The IDF says it was a failed rocket launch from Islamic Jihad. CBS's Charlie Daggett is in Tel Aviv.
They're laying blame on it originating from Gaza and had nothing to do with them, but in a way, it's just inflamed this entire region. Of course, there will be people that won't believe that narrative, and it has already ignited widespread protests and international condemnation.
Near the Israeli embassy in Amman, protesters after the deadly blast. Volker Turk with the UN condemned the attack.
Hospitals are sacrosanct, and they must be protected at all costs. We don't yet know the full scale of this carnage.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Stacy Lynn.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. Doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the radio. Keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under one U.S. penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Stronghearts Native Helpline, free, confidential, anonymous, 24/7. Call or text 1-844-762-8483. That's 1-844-7-NATIVE.
I almost howled, Haley. I was getting ready to howl. Hey, we all, Wendy's busy right now, but she'll be with us in a minute, Haley. We all went to see For the People play at the Guthrie. Oh, go ahead, Wendy.
No, at the Guthrie, yeah. That was awesome.
So I just want to read this. Unlike many new plays, For the People didn't begin with written words on a page. It began with stories spoken in the community circles over several years. Those conversations became the source material for a script which became the world premiere play on stage now. See how the playwrights, the director, the Twin Cities Native community, and the Guthrie came together to make For the People possible. And then I just read that out of their playbill, and they have in 2019 they started this process with the readings, and I know our friend Roya was in the original reading. It was a one act play at that time, and maybe we can get her on and talk a little bit about her history. But it talks like the play talks about the Minnesota Indian Center. It talks about the Powwow Grounds coffee shop. It talks about a lot of places that you can see right now. And somebody asked me, too, just today, Wendy, they have front row seats. Mm-hmm. And she's taken her daughter, and she said they just sent me an email and said that I might get wet. Mm-hmm. And I forgot all about that.
Yeah, so I don't want to give anything away, right. But they have a rain scene and it's real water coming down. So
hard, too.
Yeah, I could see if you're sitting in the front row seat, how that could happen. It could splash on you. It was really fun. It was really well done. And a lot of familiar, like Robert said, a lot of familiar places and words that they used.
Attitudes.
And, yeah, different actions, you know, like the woman who was, you know, instead of pointing, she moved her mouth,
right,
you know, just
pointing
like
with her lips. Yeah,
yeah, just things that, you know, Native American people, their culture, you know, does, you know, it's really very funny. You laugh out loud and it's very heartfelt and yeah, really good. You should check it out. It's going, we saw it on opening night on the 7th.
It's going through the 12th of November.
Oh, yeah. And it's a great theater. The Guthrie's beautiful, and there's parking. It's really convenient in the garage across the street. And it's just.
Well, we first got there, we went into the gift shop, and there was a lot of familiar, vendors or mm-hmm. artists, I should say, that we've had in Native Roots Trading Posts mm-hmm. that were mm-hmm. in the store, and there were T-shirts and candles, and so there was a lot of cool stuff there. Haley, so Wendy, who's been in the Native community as long as I have, got a lot of the inside jokes. I wonder, did you catch all those? I know you've been around too, but what was your feeling about that?
Yeah, well, you know, I probably wouldn't have gotten a lot of those jokes if I never made my way across the river into Minneapolis and have been hanging out, you know, on Franklin Avenue every Thursday of the week for I don't know how many months now. But yeah, I mean, it was a lot of the inside jokes. Happen on Franklin Avenue. I know they mentioned Powwow Grounds. They mentioned Elders Lodge, which is actually in St. Paul. I know they mentioned Maria's, which is also on Franklin. So yeah, it was very funny. But yeah, you definitely need to have a little Franklin Avenue knowledge to get some of the jokes.
And I think I'm looking at the playbill and it does explain some of that if you read it before you see the play. But it's also, hopefully I think you can get the Guthrie play For the People, playbill online and check it out. I had a teacher from Harding, reach out to me and what do I need to know? And I said, well, get the playbill. That'll help you out a lot. And also, have the kids look up some articles because there's been a lot of articles about the play For the People at the Guthrie.
Yeah, and I didn't know this too, but Native elders receive up to 2 free tickets to any performance of For the People. You can visit GuthrieTheater.org and use promo code ELDER in all caps, ELDER.
Well, that's That's the only way I spell it is with all caps, Wendy. Elder.
Right.
Exactly. I'm a baby elder.
Own it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what else? I think it was interesting, too, they kind of, the things that sometimes we struggle with is reservation Indians versus urban Indians. They made kind of fun of that, and that hit home for me in a lot of different ways. But it is fun to laugh at ourselves, and the opening night's crowd was amazing. It was pretty much full.
Yeah, I love the Guthrie. Yeah, I would say I would suggest people get there extra early and just walk around the Guthrie itself. There's
the
just beautiful
rooms.
Views of the Stone Arch Bridge, and it's just gorgeous. It really is.
Yeah, I'm looking too. Some of their pre-show and post-show music that they'll be playing before and after the performance. They've got Jada Brown on here, the Pretendians band. So if you don't know who they are, definitely check them out. I know I just went and saw the Pretendians, one of their shows a few weeks ago at a cafe in St. Paul, and they were absolutely amazing as always.
Well, before, you know, I get starstruck, we're going to get Wes Studi on, and Wes is probably the big name, but I really liked the father who worked for the casino. He was pretty. He had a pretty meaty part. But this is he plays Herb Ogijek, and it's his Guthrie debut. And he's been in theater for more than 30 years, countless theater roles, film, television, selected. You know, like Dances with the Wolves, he was a heavy-duty part, Last of the Mohicans, Geronimo, An American Legend, Heat, Avatar, Hostels, which was a really good movie, too, Mystery Men, Love Song, Mending the Line, Only a Good Indian, he was a producer, and his award is the first Native American to receive an Academy Award in 2019, and that was for his body of work over the years in movies. And Wendy, Nathaniel Two Bears, who's Ho-Chunk, and know his father, Robert Two Bears, for many years. And this is his first, he's debuting at the Guthrie, and he did awesome too. And it's an all-Native cast, and I just can't say enough. It was a lot of fun, and we'll probably go again.
Yeah, it was really fun.
And Haley, what when you were talking about those bands, what is that different nights that they'll be playing? What outside? Because I know I saw Trickster Tacos was there on the opening night selling food outside there. I missed those guys, but I did see pictures after that. So is it going to be outside, you know, or?
Yeah, so I don't know. I think the pre-show post music, I don't know if they play that in the theater when the performance gets done and over with. But yeah, some of the vendors and partners that were a part of this too, like you said, Trickster Tacos, the NTVS, Powwow Grounds Coffee, and Woodland Indian Crafts, which is, I know, Dr. Stately's brother, Charlie.
Oh, okay.
That's his business. Yep.
Nice. Okay, that's Woodlands. I always get them confused with that other place that used to be on Franklin Avenue. I can't remember the name. Or want to bring it up. Just kidding. So, again, we got a couple minutes left here. Wendy, what was one of the high points of that play for you?
Wow, that's a really good question. I don't want to give anything away. I want to just talk about the characters, though.
Yeah.
They have such strong, really good characters. The older woman who played, she was hilarious.
Sherry Foster Blake.
Thank you. Thank you, Haley. Yes. She was really funny, and I think she was my favorite character.
I was going to probably say that, too. Yeah, she's Cherokee Nation, and she also was in Rutherford Falls, too.
Mm-hmm.
We like to say Rutherford here.
Sorry. But yeah, obviously, I don't watch them.
Well, we had them on the show. We had a big special. We had all those. And then they canceled it after that.
Yeah, I
show.
Think you could still catch it, can't you?
Oh, yeah.
What was it on?
Paramount.
Yeah,
Plus.
You can still watch it.
It was a lot of fun.
It was really good.
And Bobby Wilson played, he not only wrote for it the first 2 years, but he played a character, a casino worker, and he was kind of typecast because it was a smart Alec, a smart Alec character. Yeah, Ernest Briggs, who played Levy Mitchell, who is kind of the gatekeeper of Rez, the
traditional
Rez. Thank you. Yeah, traditional, and then Kendall Kent, and I can't say Kalani Kipu. He was my favorite. Mm. He was hilarious. Mm-hmm. He was over the top in many things, and what a great play. And also too, Wendy, we're excited too. Friday we're gonna go see.
Oh my goodness!
Flower moon.
Thank you.
Come on, guys.
I know. Haley's got to say that every time I go. Flowers of.
That should be good. It's a 3.5-hour movie.
Yeah. Based on a true story. Mm-hmm. 3.5 hours. I can't wait. We're going to see
Martin
it at
Scorsese.
Where are we going to go see it? We're going to go see it at 6 o'clock on Friday.
I got tickets to a theater where that has stadium seating and the recliner chairs.
Is there so a place to put my porta potty?
Egan will go. And yeah, well, I already bought the tickets and picked out our seats. Robert has to get a seat on the end in case he has to go potty. Oh,
I will have to. I'm old now.
Yeah, exactly. Things we have to do when we get old.
Oh my God. But it's a 3.5-hour movie. And the thing is, I got to say two things, and I probably mentioned this before you guys, is that got a 45-minute standing ovation at Cannes after it was shown.
Yeah.
And people that have seen it said it was so compelling they did not realize 3.5 hours mm-hmm. went by. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I really am. And
forward to it.
You know, I had an interesting question. Is like, how do people deal with the trauma after watching this trauma? And so let's put some tobacco out and go with people and talk about this movie afterwards.
Yeah.
Hey, up next, Wendy with our sacred animal portion of the show. Thanks for coming in, Wendy.
Yeah.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Getting bus and train information in your language just got easier. Customers who call Metro Transit at 612-373-3333 are able to select language options at the start of the call. Access Next Trip, their automated real-time schedule information tool, and other Metro Transit assistance by calling 612-373-3333. For more information about other transit informational tools, visit metrotransit.org/tools.
Back to school season is here. And while this is an exciting time for parents, kids, and educators, let's not forget how far we've come in our battle against COVID-19. We're in a better place, but COVID-19 is still here, and we need to continue to help protect our communities. With the flurry of new schedules and classrooms, let's not overlook the fundamentals of staying safe. Wash your hands regularly and watch for any symptoms like fever, chills, a cough, or shortness of breath. Should you or someone you know have COVID-19 symptoms, stay home and get tested. Find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us. Let's have this back-to-school season be a time of renewed commitment to our collective health and brighter future for our Native communities. Again, find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us.
This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health. In recognition of Domestic Violence Awareness Month, this message is brought to you by Strong Hearts Native Helpline, a culturally appropriate domestic and sexual violence helpline for Native American and Alaska Natives. Advocates provide free support and advocacy 24/7. Call or text 1-844-762-8483, that's 1-844-7-NATIVE, or chat online at strongheartshelpline.org. Safe, anonymous, confidential, 24/7.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. How?
We should pre-record that.
Yeah.
That was a good one. We'll have to.
The howl, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The intro was a little shaky, though.
Thank you.
Just kidding. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife. She's off camera, so we'll pop up a glamour shot of you with our little Wanda. But you talk about our sacred animals, and I learned so much, and it's great to have you on. I've learned so much the last 7 years of having you come on, and I know I say that every time, but it's true, and babe, don't fall asleep on me.
I'm not falling asleep. Hey, everybody. My name is Hannah Jihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hannah Jinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the state and local level, mostly the local level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. So I just want to give myself a plug. I do pet portraits, and I'd love to paint your pet from your favorite picture, a lot of peas. And you could visit my Facebook page. It's called Pilot's Palette.
Oh.
Yeah, Pilot's Palette. And check out my work and give me a like my page and give me some comments. And yeah. And I also have a Gmail account where you could email me at pilotspalette@gmail.com. Well, you're really having a lot of fun doing it.
Your whole family's very talented. I just I'm following your sister now on TikTok.
Yeah.
Or my sister-in-law. What
yeah.
the heck?
Yeah, she's very funny, and she's really good, too. So, yeah.
What's the name of her?
Growing Gracefully is my sister's TikTok handle. That's what they call it. Growing Gracefully. Her first name is Cindy. And she's an influencer of fashion, really. Yeah. She's very fashionable and she lives in New York and, you know. Yeah, but she's got it going on. I got to tell you, she's got it going on. It's a lot of fun to watch her. And, she just started and she's doing pretty well. So
I want to get a pair of those pants.
Yeah.
But hey, back to our sacred animals and Wendy, my wife, the artist.
Yeah. So I've talked about this before, Robert, and I want to bring it up again because I've seen it come up a few times on social media. And I want to just kind of educate people. So I talk about the Humane Society of the United States. So it's the largest organization in the United States that helps all animals. We do not adopt out animals. We are not associated with any shelters, so we don't adopt out cats and dogs. What we work on is legislation. So we work on legislation and we work on passing laws and ordinances all over to help animals in a state or, you know, the country or your city or whatever. So that's what our main goal is to do. But there's an organization out there and it's called Humane Watch. Robert, you know that I've talked about Humane Watch. Now, if you just listen to their name, Humane Watch, you might think, oh, humane, you know, watch where, you know, they're watching, you know, how animals are treated or if they're humanely treated or not, but they're not. Humane Watch is an organization which their sole goal is to get rid of the Humane Society of the United States and say really, really bad things about the Humane Society of the United States. So the Humane Society of the United States is a great organization and it gets a lot done, right? We get a lot of laws changed for animals, humane laws that help all kinds of animals from circus animals to your animals on farms, on factory farms, you know, everywhere. But the Humane Watch is an organization that's created. It was created by Big Ag.
Yeah.
So Big Ag, the NRA, and other big corporations with lobbying power and money to stop the work of the Humane Society of the United States because they are so successful in helping animals. And they don't want these changes made, right? Big Ag, big agriculture does not want to give their pigs extra room and their cows extra room to roam around so they're more comfortable.
Right.
God forbid. They don't want to do that. They want to keep these animals in very cramped, cruel conditions. So when the Humane Society of the United States goes to change laws to give animals more room to roam, to be more comfortable, to be treated more humanely, Humane Watch turns around and says bad things about the Humane Society, the Humane Society of the United States. So I just want people to be aware of that. And, you know, the Humane Society, they always talk about how, you know, most of the money that you donate does not go to animals and stuff like that. So, and they really make it look good. I mean, honestly, they do. And a lot of people believe them. But I want to just say that, you know, the truth is the fact that Humane Watch, again, is an organization created by Big Ag, the NRA, and other big corporations that does not want the Humane Society of the United States to make things better for animals because it'll cost them more money, right?
Well, yeah.
I mean, definitely. Just getting rid of, we've talked about this on the show, getting rid of lead shot. So hunters go out, they shoot a deer, let's just say, right? Mm-hmm. The deer isn't killed immediately. The deer runs off somewhere and then dies. And it's got the lead bullet that shattered inside its body. All right, so then you have these prey animals that come and eat the deer.
Mm-hmm.
Owls, eagles, all kinds of animals will come and eat the deer and then get sick
mm-hmm.
because they ate the lead and then they die of lead poisoning, right?
Yep.
So we've been trying to get rid of lead bullets and put ordinances out there where hunters can bring in all their lead bullets and get other bullets instead.
Hmm.
I think they're copper. I'd have to look it up. I'm not sure. But studies have shown that they're just as accurate. You know, they may cost just a teeny bit more money, but not much.
I think they're metal.
Metal? I can't remember.
I don't think they're copper. Because copper's expensive.
Okay, I can't remember what material it is. I should have looked that up before I started talking, but I didn't. So, but the NRA does not want any changes whatsoever because they feel like, okay, if we change this one thing, if we change no more lead bullets, then what's next? And then what's after that? And then what's after that? So the NRA has big lobbying power in Washington, D.C., and gives lots and lots of money so that lawmakers will not change these laws. So we're asking hunters, if you're a hunter, if you know a hunter, not to use lead bullets because they're not good. You know, the lead lures, fishermen, right? They get into the water, they get off the fishing pole, and they end up in the bottom of the lake or the river, and they're lead. I mean, there's a reason why the car industry doesn't use lead paint anymore.
Right.
There's a reason why houses are no longer painted with lead paint.
Yeah.
Because it's poison. It's poison.
You were right. Copper is one of the alternatives.
Oh, thank you for looking that up. Okay, yeah, I thought it was copper. So it is one of the alternatives. Studies have shown that they're just as accurate. I think they do cost a little bit more money, but not much. I mean, it's not going to break the bank. And you're helping the environment. You're helping other animals. You're just doing it the right thing, you know? So I would say to hunters out there, not to use lead bullets. Use copper bullets. There's organizations, too, and programs where you could bring, you know, and then hunters will say, well, I have a whole garage full of lead bullets. What am I going to do with all these bullets? You could trade them in. So trade them in. Google it. You'll find out where you need to bring them, and you could do that. So also the Humane Society of the United States, they have big equipment. They have trailers, they have veterinarian staff, right? They go they are asked to go to disaster zones, right? And they help these animals. So they need a lot of money to do that. So I just want to say all that. So, Stop Humane Watch is the...
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop.
let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at Interscholastic Athletic Events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.